What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hi, everybody. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
And I'm Delaney Fisher.
And welcome to Self-Helpless, the podcast where we delve into self-help, self-improvement, everything to make yourselves better, and take you along for the ride and the journey while we criticize ourselves for buying into all this bullshit.
Yes, 100%.
For our first segment, as always, we are kicking it off with quotables. Delaney, do you have a quote this week?
Oh, I sure do, Taylor. Thanks for asking.
so broadcasty. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. All right.
I do a lot of hairspray.
This is all right, here it is. If you how do you intro a quote, right? This is from Jim Rohn, an entrepreneur,
okay,
slash author slash motivational speaker.
Kelsey just googled him,
and he says, if you don't like how things are, change it. You're not a tree. Which I love that, because it's so simple and so true. Like, we have the ability to change so much that when we feel stuck, we can just kind of alter things around and we'll get different outcomes.
Absolutely. Yeah. People are so scared of change and stay in very small, safe spaces a lot of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And that tree thing, just really, nobody's got to trap you down and throw you in a truck.
That's right. You don't have
you
to
drive yourself.
Stay. Yeah. To stay there until it rains on you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You ain't rooted down.
But yeah, I don't know. But I'm also very aware that, like, there are people out there who have, like, mouths to feed, and they can't just, like, up and quit their job. And, you know, yeah, like, I understand that this is maybe a privileged way of thinking as well. But maybe there's just small things that all of us can do, you know, to help ourselves.
Yeah. I think if you look at it from that perspective of, if you want to change something, don't feel like a victim or feel like you're too weak to, like, eat healthier or exercise every day. Like, regardless of how privileged or unprivileged you are, you know, simple things that you can do to better yourself are, you know,
yeah,
they're possible for humans.
So
maybe not trees.
Yeah. fucking trees.
You
I feel
what?
Bad.
You're not a fucking tree.
Yeah.
The point of the quote.
Yeah.
Get out there. Change your shit up.
No, I just feel bad
for
trees.
That should be our first t-shirts.
Yeah.
You're not a fucking tree.
Not a fucking tree.
We're just totally to just steal shit from this guy.
Yeah.
I already forgot his name.
Hashtag
not
a fucking tree.
Yeah. Jim Rohn. Yep, that's it. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, I feel like that quote could have used the word fucking in there. I really would have punched it home.
Most quotes could have.
We're going to freshen his quote up and just make a lot of money off of it.
We're going to Tony Robbins this quote.
Yeah.
graphic tees everywhere in Forever 21. Yeah. You're not
graphic
a fucking
language
tree.
Tees. Am I right? I hate myself. Okay.
I think there will be a moment every episode where we just have to like full out apologize to listeners. Like, I'm sorry about that pun, you guys.
Yeah.
That was for me. That wasn't for anybody else.
Yeah, that's correct. Taylor, do you have a treat yourself this week?
Treat yourself.
Because it looks like you might, just by the look on your face.
I do. As you can tell, I am very well rested.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that is because I wanted to go to bed early last night. And you know what I did? I took ZQL, a healthy dose.
Sinner.
Of ZQL.
Oh my gosh.
Is it natural? No. It's not even melatonin. It's not even a little natural.
Wow.
It is artificial drowsiness syrup. It was gross, but it worked, and I had to wake up early to drive here, and I feel great.
Now, is it just like a lot of like high fructose corn syrup? Like, what's in that
stuff?
I
didn't even think about that, but yes.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure, like, what are the ingredients of that? I've never actually looked at the ingredients. Is that scary?
We
don't even know. Like, I would just be like, oh, I'm taking this, and
I didn't look at the ingredients.
Yeah, really? And you just took it blinded.
I was like, just put me to sleep.
Yeah,
just put me to sleep.
Yeah,
this don't give me all the ZZs.
Yeah,
I'm gonna take this. And then I put it in my face. Yeah.
This sad old farmer impression we're doing.
Well, I'm glad it worked. It sounds like you might have a few hours to live. Yeah. Since we really don't know what's in that shit. Yeah. I'm glad you're spending it with us.
Now I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Knock on this wooden table that we're sitting at. No, that's interesting though.
I'll tell people real quick, be careful with the DayQuil Severe.
Oh,
because DayQuil has come up with a severe formula. Oh. And I took that and I was high as a kite.
Wow.
But not in a fun way, like in a get out way where he's like falling into this sunken place and I just like paralyzed.
Oh, wow.
And then I Googled because I realized that one of the ingredients is not in regular DayQuil. I had never felt this way with regular DayQuil. And that ingredient is like a full out
meth.
It's like a very strong. It's not a hallucinogen, but it really does. Like, there's a lot of stuff with it that it's like, if you take too much of this, this is very bad. It's like something that people use recreationally.
Oh my God.
So just be careful with that.
And get it at your local CVS. Fantastic.
Like, be very
what was the name of this? I'm just taking some notes. Yeah.
Thank you, Kelsey, for turning my treat yourself into a kill yourself. Anyway.
So wait.
I used an extra pillow under my knee. How about that?
Yeah.
You guys suck.
Is that for when you're feeling sick or when you want to stay awake or when you want to go to sleep? What is DayQuil actually supposed to do?
It's supposed to do cold symptoms.
Cold symptoms.
The day.
Okay.
There's
so it's
no
really just supposed
drowsiness.
To make you feel like a little bit numb to your symptoms.
Well, yeah, DayQuil is just supposed to help with like runny nose.
Okay.
All that shit.
Got
but this
it.
DayQuil
suppress
severe
stuff.
Is supposed to I think the ingredient, its purpose is cough suppressant. I think that's the one that gets you high, but it's just it's a whole mess. So be careful out there. I did not know until
holy
I did it.
Holy shit.
All right. Well, now we're going to get into our next segment. Now that my treat yourself has been diminished.
Yeah. Speaking of self-careless.
Yeah, now we're going to do a new segment this week called self-careless. And that's an instance this week where one of us did not take care of ourselves. We dropped the ball a little bit on self-care. Yeah. Kelsey, what do you
I don't know how you're going to top your meth DayQuil situation,
no,
really.
No, I was trying to take care of myself. That was like an accidental self-careless. So my self-careless this week, which is not the first time I've done this, but I took too long to re-up on my probiotics. Mm. Probiotics can be very expensive.
They're
like
so expensive.
$30 mm-hmm. a
for
bottle.
For
cheap ones. And I've been told that they don't work unless they're the refrigerated kind.
Really?
Oh,
I don't
man.
Know about that. I take the unrefrigerated kind.
Really? And they seem to work for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll
Or
with
maybe
that.
They're not unrefrigerated, but I don't refrigerate them.
But
Hashtag self-care.
So basically you're taking placebos.
Yes.
I feel like it works. I feel different.
Well, because they're like live cultures, and so they say if you don't keep them at that certain cold temperature, they die.
They just die.
And then you're just
no
putting
effect.
Yeah, through your body.
Just putting built well, yeah. A bunch of bullshit in the castle.
Kelsey's undermining me a lot today.
I don't mean to.
I don't have a fridge with me all the time.
I know. That's the problem is that we have a cooler. So much. Yeah. And so I will go for these like stretches of time where I'm just not taking probiotics because I'm.
Where do you store?
Wouldn't it be better to take some unrefrigerated probiotics?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, when I come back into town, it takes me a while to like get myself to Whole Foods and spend $30. And I'm always looking at my calendar like, am I even here long enough to that it's worth it? But when I'm not on them, my poop is all over the place. Yeah. It's just not a regular cycle. We can't have cycle.
That. I mean, it's literally on the walls right now. You guys can't see this at home, but holy shit.
That came out weird. I didn't mean it to be all over the place. I just mean that, like, I'm not regular. It's not, like, I've got IBS, acid reflux, all these poop issues.
Full of shit. Really full of shit.
Really full of shit. And I need those probiotics. And so when I don't take them, it affects everything. Like, if your digestion is fucked up, everything else is fucked up. Like, you see it in your skin, you don't sleep as well, you have lower energy. So I was self-careless and I went like way too long before re-upping. So but now, well, I had them.
You can get poop. I have some in my fridge if you want some. Yeah, you guys, I mean, let me just pass out some probiotics real quick.
Oh my god, this is actually happening.
I'm going to see if this is any better.
I have acidophilus. Okay. They are refrigerated. You only need to take one. Why don't we just
100 million.
Is that a lot?
That's a lot.
You don't even have the right ones you're supposed to have. You're supposed to have certain strains in here, and you don't even have the right ones.
Oh, no. So does this not do anything?
I'm debunking
yours. Mine wasn't $30, so that's probably a first red flag. This was probably about $12.
Totally. Yeah, these are garbage.
And I can't have these because they have dairy.
Oh, my God. Look at that. So you can't even have something that could.
Those are garbage pills.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have one right now. So basically, this is probably not doing anything for my body.
Garbage.
No, it is
probicarbage.
Yeah.
Oh, delicious.
I take like Acuflora. Is that garbage?
No, that's not.
What
garbage.
About those yogurts that are supposed to be good for you?
It's dairy good. Though.
What is that called? People do such Activia? Weird shit with yogurt. They like put it in their twat, and I'm like,
what?
That's yeah.
What are they supposed to do in your twat? Just like
to like ward away
balance
yeast
things
infections.
Out.
I'm like, that sounds and men. Wrong.
And Yeah. If you want to get rid of yeast and men,
get rid of your boyfriend.
Yeah, yeast and love. It is a mess. Ugh.
Wow. Right. Shit.
Wow. Learning all kinds of things today.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting rid of stuff, our topic today, our main topic is minimalism, which I discovered this about maybe 6 months or more ago, but you guys just recently watched the documentary. So first thoughts, go for it. Are you as in love as I am with this movement?
I'm obsessed now. It's
so good.
It's so good. It's so addicting.
Addicting. It's a big addiction of mine. Yeah. I declutter when I'm stressed, when I feel like I'm out of control in my life in any other way. I come home and I get rid of stuff and it feels so good and I can clear my head. Yes. And it's just so therapeutic.
Absolutely. Oh,
see, I loved this documentary and I don't feel that way. And I don't know if you felt like this before you got into it, Delaney, but I get really anxious about getting rid of stuff because I'm afraid I will need it. And I'm afraid the moment, because there have been enough instances where that has actually happened. For example, I just moved. I got rid of my cardigans. I got rid of 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens. A week later, we start this podcast. I need that book again. For our first episode, I have to go back to a Barnes & Noble, read through it like a hobo, like a book hobo. And also we have to take photos for something else and I need a cardigan and I have to go buy one. So, I mean, is it better to be a minimalist or is it better to be prepared? Okay. Are the people who are prepared for the apocalypse with all their cans of beans and water in the basement, are they minimalists? No, but you're going to knock on their door when the comet hits, aren't you?
Yeah, that's a great point. I did not think about that level. But I think it's one of those things where how often are you using that item? That's for me. It's like okay, if I'm gonna just, because I would Goodwill stuff, and then when Halloween came around, I'd be like, oh, I could have used this for my Halloween costume, and I gave it to Goodwill. But it's like, okay, once a year is the only reason I'm keeping on to, you know, holding on to that thing. Right. It's gonna sit in my closet for a year, but one day I'll use it.
That's how those cardigans were. Literally years. Almost got rid of them 4 or 5 times. I was like, what if I need them? Next week, needed them. I just feel like it's the universe messing with me.
Right.
Of course. So,
trying to give this up.
But I loved the documentary. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought great. A lot of it was true. And it's called Minimalism, the documentary, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the name. I just want to let listeners know it's on Netflix.
Yeah. Yes.
They also have a book called Minimalism, and they also wrote a memoir and they called The Thing That Remains.
Oh, I didn't know
right.
that.
Yeah.
I think they have a podcast, too.
They have a podcast?
I think they have a podcast now
where
as well.
Every week, what? They just talk about getting rid of stuff?
I think just different things. Like, I kind of scrolled through it, and I think it was like, how to handle being a minimalist during the holidays. What do people get you for gifts? You know, they have like different situations how being gift a minimalist card? Kind of, yeah, you'd have to probably, I didn't listen to it, and I should, but I'm sure gift cards or like food. Alcohol, anything you can consume, I'd assume is a good gift for being a minimalist.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. You know? Yeah. I was really fascinated with the concept of minimalism spilling into the way we use our phones, and that actually, like, the consumption of stuff from our phones is like a way that we're not being minimalist because we're checking our phones. They said average person checks their phone 150 times a day.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So think about how unminimalistic that is.
Right.
That
sounds like a low number.
So over the top, unnecessary, making us unhappy, where they say, like, we're literally in the Matrix. Like, we are in the Matrix now. We're all just on our phones.
Yeah.
We're not looking at people anymore. That was really interesting to me. And I've talked about before on my podcast, but the idea of like producing versus consuming, where I know that we as comedians, we feel there's definitely a pressure in this day and age to produce social media content all the time. And I don't think that's something that we're going to be able to get away from.
Right.
But I do think we can cut back on the amount of like scrolling.
Totally.
Oh, just so much
absorbing
scrolling.
Shit we don't need.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there are times I get to most of my shows at least 30 minutes early because I'm very anxious.
Yes.
And so that means I sit in my car for like that time and I could be reading or something. And instead I'm usually scrolling through, like watching people's Instagram stories. I don't care where people are eating. Like, what am I doing? That sounds like such a crotchety thing to say. Like, I don't care what your sandwich looks like,
but
the filter on it.
It's true.
But I totally do. And you know, sometimes that's nice. Cause you're like, wow, I want to see what everyone's what's going on with so-and-so or such and such. Like if you post something in New York, I'm like, oh, what's Kelsey up to? But like most of these people, I'm like, I don't really care that much.
Right.
I don't need to watch this. Killing time. Like, I really loved what they said up top. They had a really strong opening for the documentary, I thought. And they, one of the people said, you know, in this day and age, like, our standard of living is at its best, and yet we're like still restless, we're still searching for more, and we're always hunting for something that's going to make us happy, which makes us miserable.
Right.
That which hunch. I feel like everyone can relate to that. You do feel like that every day. You're like, why am I not
content?
It's
satisfying.
Almost like acquiring the stuff is the part that makes you happy.
Yeah.
When you like the initial buying something.
Yeah.
Like a small fraction of the time do I buy something and then I really enjoy it.
Yes.
As much as I did.
It's a high. Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What do you guys feel like is your minimalist vice? Like, what is the thing that you're like, fuck, that's going to be hard to cut back on getting those?
Ooh.
Or
jackets.
Yeah, fucking Taylor loves her jackets.
Yeah,
she brought 7 just to my home.
I did.
And she's only here for a day.
Yeah. For 6 hours I needed. Well, I need summer jackets,
right?
You know, for when I'm on stage and I want to. I was a fat child. Nobody's seen my upper arms since 1998. So I always need a jacket, and it's getting warmer, and you know what, people look at you weird when you wear like a winter coat on
full
stage
parka. Right.
Yep. Yeah. So you need a lighter jacket so that people don't stare.
I saw your arms all. I thought they were beautiful. I saw them all day. So they're fantastic.
Girl,
you should show them
amazing.
Off more.
Yeah.
Maybe try to get like one of those sweater vests instead
Ooh.
Of all the jackets. Maybe, you know, just bit more skin.
I did try the denim vest thing. It wasn't great.
Did you?
A little boxy. Ooh. What's your vice?
Oh my gosh. What's hard to get rid of?
You're like killing it already.
Yeah.
I honestly think I watched this about, I would say maybe 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. Before this documentary, I read The Magical Art of Tidying Up, which I know we're going to definitely do an episode on. Mm-hmm. But that kind of like jump started me.
Yeah.
So the last year, I think I've probably gotten rid of like 60% to 70% wow. of my belongings. Wow. And that's including stuff like I went to my parents' garages and I was like, what wow. do I have from my childhood? Wow. I want to see everything. Yeah. And I took pictures of everything and I donated everything. And I put the pictures on my computer. So I like have that stuff. But I mean, everything I own is in this, my little apartment now, which is, it feels really good. I can travel light and stuff. But one thing I guess that's really hard to get rid of are the sentimental things. So like I kept some of those. I got rid of a lot, but I did keep like one stuffed animal from like when I was born, a couple things from my grandparents. Okay. I kept some the birthday cards thing was hard for me. So I kind of narrowed down, like I had like 150.
You kept your birthday cards?
Birthday cards from like my grandparents that are no longer here, stuff like that, where it's they signed their name, stuff like that, where it's like, okay. So I kind of narrowed down from like, I had like over 100 just in storage and now I have like maybe 5.
Yeah. Cause don't they write the same thing every year?
They do. They just sign their name. They don't really write anything that sentimental. Grandma. Cool. Yeah. Love Nana. Love Grandpa, So I was like, all right,
I
get it.
What about you, Kelsey? Is it makeup?
Yeah, what's your vice? That's a good one. At least it's small.
Yeah,
you can store it easily.
Oh, man. It's tough, though, because my best friend is like a full YouTube beauty guru. Like, that is her full-time job. She's
really?
Amazing.
What's
like,
her, Tony what's her Robbins handle? What's her name?
I don't know if she wants me to like.
Oh, okay.
She's like very big on her private life, but I'll show you guys.
Oh,
afterward.
I hear you.
But I'll show you guys afterward. Anyway, she has like I think like 500,000 subscribers. Like,
holy shit.
She got in it at like the ground level. She's fucking amazing.
Wow.
Like, but she's a really big minimalist, which is kind of a contradiction for somebody who loves
collecting
makeup so
it.
Much because. The makeup industry, I feel like, is one of the biggest ones that, like, shoves trends down your throat.
Yeah.
Of, like, this is the new best foundation.
Mm.
That old foundation that we said a month ago was the best, that's garbage now. Get rid of it. You're a troll if you're wearing that.
Oh,
you
man.
Need this.
Yeah.
It's so much, and there are so many brands.
Oh,
it's constant. So she also, I mean, she gets sent so many products because that's how big she is. We're like... brands will send her products to be
that's
like
nice.
Please do a video on this, which is like the dream. It's amazing. But she gets to a point where she's like, I don't need all this. Like, she'll have duplicates of things
wow.
or she's because she's a minimalist, like I said. So now she'll be like, do you want me to send you a box of stuff that I don't want? And it's like asking a meth addict if they want meth.
Some
and
leftover
it's like,
meth.
Right.
Yes, I of course. Like, you have to send it to me because even if there's like one thing in the box she sends me
worth
that I'm
it.
Like, it makes me, I do
makeup's
get high.
Expensive.
Yeah.
I get high every time she sends it. Like, that's the feeling I get. Cause I open it up and it's like Christmas morning every time.
Yeah.
And this is like the good shit. This is like good brand. Like, very nice.
Kelsey is lighting up talking about this. I wish everybody could see the look on her face.
I probably look insane.
Like, yeah. Oh, you're like glowing.
Yeah, you are like, everything changed about you once you started talking
about
makeup.
Remember that part in Lord of the Rings Fellowship where Galadriel like gets all big and scary? That's what Kelsey looks like right now. That's my boyfriend.
That's
probably not the best comparison.
No, it's not. Well, not healthy. I thought you were saying like it's not good for me to feel.
Oh, no, it was just like it was just like a lame reference. I'm so sorry. We want like cool, pretty listeners.
You look like Khaleesi. Is that relevant? Khaleesi from Game of Thrones.
There we go.
You're
I don't
glowing.
Even know Lord of
I don't
the
know
Kings.
Kane has watched me open these boxes a few times and been like visibly scared.
This is who I've chosen.
Oh, like, amazing.
Like, I'm doing like crazy, like little girl shrieks at like eyeshadow palettes. He's like, are you okay? Like, this is kind of concerning to watch this happen. And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, this just hit the market. This is so expensive. Like, it's been sold out for weeks. Like, he's just like, okay, I'm never going to understand this, but I'm going to let you, like, have your joy with this.
You can have your thing.
Yeah. But it's because now it has gotten to a point where it's unreasonable, the amount I have. I'm never going to use them. And it's like what they said where, and this is the same for dating. This is the same like Aziz Ansari's Modern Romance, which I think we could also talk about.
Oh yeah,
in an episode that more options does not necessarily mean more satisfaction.
Yeah,
so that's
mostly less.
Yes, mostly less, and I feel
it's
that way.
Overwhelming.
More.
Yeah. How do you pick?
And then you feel guilty because I'm looking at all these products and I'm like, I'm never gonna use this, but I for some reason feel like bad parting with them because I know that they're good products. But anyway,
yeah, you feel wasteful. I liked what he said. he said at one point, you know, he was talking about all the things in his apartment, and he goes, everything I have, I can justify to myself, not anybody else.
Right.
But I need to be able to justify it to myself. Otherwise, you know, because he had a guitar, and like, you know, maybe some people would look at that and go, you don't need a guitar. But to him, he's like, no, I need that.
Right.
But if you can't justify it to yourself, let it go, get rid of it. I don't know. I just think I can justify almost anything.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And they were reasonable about it. Like, at one point he was saying, like, you know, they were doing all these talks all over the U.S., and some woman had said to them, like, I love my books. Like, right. I loan them out. I read them over and over. And he was like, dude, keep your books.
Yeah. I'm not trying to take your books. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that part. That it was like, it's whatever you need to do for you.
Yeah. Right. I wear all of my jackets.
Right.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. I don't. Right. And, you know,
you love them.
I love those jackets.
Yeah. So, and, like.
So do your thing.
And you keep those jackets.
What did you guys think of the tiny house thing?
Oh, I could totally do tiny house. I could. Yeah. Like, I've definitely brought it up with my boyfriend. Like, one day, tiny house. That's the goal. He's like, fucking no. Like, he's not a hoarder or anything. But, like, he's just like, no, I want more space than that. But, like, if I needed to, I could do tiny house lifestyle. I feel like I feel like we already kind of do that in L.A. I mean, like, we're, you know, in tiny apartments.
I was going to say that this apartment is actually ruining me from moving to New York because it actually
is it spacious?
It's very spacious. There's high ceilings. Your bathroom is the size of, it's bigger than most bedrooms in New York.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to just kind of get used to that idea of, like, it's going to be small, but it's fine. Yeah. I like small anyway. I'll enjoy that small space. And then I come here and I'm like, God damn it. No, I do like it. It's so spacious. It's so nice. Yeah.
I think I'd like it if I were by myself, but we're in a relationship.
We got three cats.
And
three giant litter boxes. Yeah. It's,
I don't know how
people, obviously none of these people in the tiny houses had children either. It's like, you can't live there. But some of them looked really cool.
Yeah.
I thought the apartments they did, the like life edited apartments that they
showed. Those were neat.
Those were cool, where they had like the Murphy bed pulled down and they could like transform it so there were separate rooms, and like that seemed a little more realistic than like the tiny house thing where they pulled it in on a trailer, dropped it off in a field, and they're like, this is where you live now.
Yikes. Totally just depends on like what kind of lifestyle you're wanting. Like, if whether you're by yourself or maybe just with a partner, whether you have kids. I mean, it just depends. Like, I think it's very much like, do you want to acquire things and like a bigger place to live, or do you want to have money for experiences? I think we often have to choose between those things. Sure. Yeah. And I'm glad my boyfriend's like this too. Is like, we very much like experiences versus stuff.
Yes.
We much rather like go out to nice dinners and go on vacations. And like, I have, you know, one of my best friends, totally the opposite. You know, she wants to have the house and, you know, the bigger house and this, and spend most of the time at home, you know, doing barbecues and parties. And that's great too, but it's hard to have both. I think
five love languages. Have you guys heard of the five languages?
We should do an episode on the five love languages.
Yes.
Jotting this all down.
To do that.
Five love languages.
Yeah, it's so dependent on what type of person you are. Because I mean, the thing I kept thinking about looking at his empty apartment was comedy condos. We've been to some sad comedy condos that are just
scary.
Nothing or bad hotels. Like those get sad, and I don't want to be sad in my house. Like I'd have to really make up for the lack of stuff with like great lighting or something. Because I want like a couch and a TV, and I want it to look full. Like, again, I just moved in to a new apartment, and I'm moving in with to my sisters and they haven't moved in yet. And it's sad to come home to. Yeah. Like, because there's just, it's not done yet.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like, oh, how nice. I'm such a minimalist. It's like, yeah. I need a table so I don't have to eat in bed.
Yeah. Right.
Not that, not that there's anything wrong with eating in bed, listeners. Closest thing to being in love you will ever feel.
I did it last night. It's the best. But I like when it's not, yeah, because it was like way too minimalistic in this documentary for me, like in that guy's apartment, like there was nothing even on the walls. It's like, I want like a nice painting, but maybe just one really nice painting on one wall instead of like a million things, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I like when it's just minimalist decor.
Yeah.
You know, just like a few nice things where you can still breathe, but it's cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it brings you joy.
It's a little tough for me with feng shui because feng shui is very much about like, put all these things that represent this to you in this corner, and it can get a little like knick-knacky. Yeah, it gets cluttered very quickly. So I think that's a goal for me is the next place I live. Yeah. Kind of minimize that, but still still do the feng shui.
Could you have...
We have to do that still while I'm here.
Yeah. I cannot wait to get feng shui'd by you in my bedroom.
That sounds so dirty.
No, I cannot wait.
I'm gonna watch.
Yeah. With the feng shui, could you have just like one thing that represents something?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can just have like kind of one, even if it's just like a color.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you can kind of still...
Your room's just a patchwork that you sleep on. You just like pee in the corner.
Yeah.
Pee on
I'm
red.
Into that.
It's like some weird twister game. Yeah.
I'm very much... Have you guys discarded anything since you've watched it?
Yes.
Oh, what did you get rid of?
I went through the... closet's always my go-to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I'm feeling that way of wanting to get rid of shit, it's just, okay, what haven't I worn in a year?
Yep.
Or what am I holding on to? This is a great thing. My friend I talked about, she does these great declutter videos. Mm-hmm. And a great rule is that if you're holding on to it because you feel guilty that you already bought it, it doesn't matter because that money is already spent.
That's great.
Isn't that? Yeah. Oh, that one will really kick your ass.
And now it's just sitting in your closet reminding you of the bad decision you made.
Exactly. Right. If anything, it makes you feel worse. It kicks your ass, that one, because you think that you're going to feel guilty by giving it away. Well, it's like you already spent the money.
That's so, a great,
great
piece of
tool. Because like you said, now you're actually just being further reminded of it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do other than just accept that it's not something that works for you anymore and give it to somebody that would appreciate it. That's the way to make it a positive thing.
I think you guys are going to love the magical art of tidying up. It is so good.
Yeah,
I just wanted to throw it like it because it deals with a lot of this stuff of like when you are getting rid of something, like, why are you getting rid of it? And also to be very careful. Like for me personally, I give all my clothes I don't want to my little sisters because they love it. And then whatever they don't want, they get rid of. But they say like, you should be very careful of getting rid of something and then putting that burden on somebody else. Mm. Like, hey, I don't want this anymore, but please take it because I can't part with it. But if you have it, it's kind of like visit. I still keep it. I can visit. And it's like, I love that idea. It's like, oh, you don't want to like burden somebody else with your own guilt about an object, which I think is fascinating. Yeah. So I always say like, hey guys, here's a bag of stuff. If you don't want it, just goodwill it. Whatever.
Yeah.
No pressure.
No,
if you don't want anything from this pile, I won't be offended. I'll be a little offended, but like maybe just don't tell me about it. Yeah. Don't ask, don't tell. I'm walking out. Yeah. So it's very interesting.
One more great rule that I thought you would appreciate from her is that if you could go back in time, would you repurchase that item? And a lot of the time,
oh God, that's
you
good.
Wouldn't.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, it will cut through your life.
It's also just a good way to prevent future stupid purchases.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's so many things now that I've looked at and thought that of, am I really going to care that I have this in a year?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
the rule I have for clothes is like, if I buy a piece of clothing, if I don't wear it within like 2 days, then it was probably a mistake and I take it back. Like, I'm gonna be honest, I bought this shirt this week, I bought this jacket this week, I'm already wearing them, you know?
Yeah, you're killing
like,
it too.
It has to happen real quick. And also I go through phases where like I wear the same thing like for 3 weeks, I feel like.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I exhaust that and then I'll do another outfit, rotate that in. But also I have very like, I have very specific taste in that it's not that it's
particularly amazing. It's just like I have very specific things that I can and want to wear. And so I feel like I dress very similarly anyway. And I probably have a lot of things that look a lot like other things. And I don't need to keep buying things that look like things I already have.
I think we all do that. We just buy the same thing over and over in different colors.
Yeah.
Slightly different patterns. But the same kind of fit and style.
And sometimes it's just comfort. Like when I'm on the road or I'm like driving to Northern California for shows, I always stop at like a Target to take a lap. And inevitably, I will buy something I don't need. Yeah. But I come out with a mug that says, like, believe in yourself. And then you're like, well, this was great. I used it to make tea once. Yeah. And it's like, you need like one mug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truly.
You really don't need more than a mug.
I loved when that woman laid out that challenge she did. It was what?
Oh, the Project 333.
Yes.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
And it really made me look at my closet and go, wow, yeah, I could make so many different combinations of outfits with four of these items, yet most of this just sits untouched for a year. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought that it was interesting too that all of these guys, not just the two main guys, but like they had two other very handsome guys, by the way. All the minimalists are like real hot. I'm like, well, you don't need any creams to fix you. Yeah. Like they had that one guy, Colin Wright, and he has 51 things and that's it. And he just carries them around on his back like a hermit crab. And then he like winked at the camera. Yeah. He's like, it's so hard explaining it to dates. I'm like, is it, Colin? Yeah. Is it?
Is it when they're blowing you?
Yeah.
I can say within the last year or so, I started decluttering big time. I didn't even have a lot of stuff to begin with, but it's one of my biggest fears is because my mom is a hoarder, which I've talked about a little bit. High five, right? Okay. Love her. She's a wonderful person. It's something that she knows she struggles with, but like it's taken her years to like really get rid of stuff. And you know, it's a work in progress, but I just don't ever want any of the hoard. So like even I know like I don't have a lot of stuff, but even sometimes I come home and I'm like, oh my God, what can I get rid of? You know, it's a little bit of an obsession, addiction.
Yeah.
But I noticed that even in the last year, I've gotten rid of so much stuff. I've just saved money somehow. So like, I don't know what it is, but I'm just accumulating less stuff after watching that documentary, reading that book. It's just, I don't want really anything. And if I do, like we were kind of talking about, like really thinking about the purchase before you do it. I guess maybe I just think a lot more before I buy something and I maybe wait on it a couple weeks.
And
it's very weird.
This wasn't even about like living cheaper. It was just about being simpler. Like he made a point to say, like, I want to buy like a really nice sweatshirt, but I only have one.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, but I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'd rather have five sweatshirts in different colors.
Yeah, sometimes.
Because I can't tell the difference in quality. I really can't. And then I see famous people and I'm like, oh no, I get it.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
That is a fantastic better hoodie.
Yeah. It was just like a weird indirect, you know, thing that I didn't do it for that reason, but I've noticed like I'm saving money a little bit easier than I was, which is weird because my living costs have not changed.
Well, you're unplugging from that power source.
Yeah.
You're not getting that same high anymore.
Yeah.
Just like,
I don't Amazon Prime shit anymore, really.
Oh, yeah. Amazon Prime.
I got rid of my Amazon Prime account because I'm like, this is something where I'm just like ordering stuff almost
just
on
to
a
see how
daily
fast it
basis.
Gets here.
I mean, like, even if it was just like, I just want this nice shampoo, you know? And I was just like, and then I was like, oh my God, I got five shampoos in the shower.
Oh, that's so I need to declutter. I have so many shampoos.
And lotions and stuff.
You know what I was hoarding? Hotel shampoos.
Oh yeah,
oh
those
my
are
God.
Good.
I'm
those are great though for
today.
Traveling. But yeah,
when
you don't need them.
If you're lucky enough to like be on the road with somebody who puts you up in a nice hotel or something like that,
steal that shit.
The products in those hotel showers, I take those with me.
So nice.
You know, I don't know. I just need to buy like one nice shampoo. And then when that's gone, I buy another nice shampoo.
Yeah.
Instead of a bunch of crappy swab. I bought shampoo at the Dollar Tree once. I was like, Taylor, you're better than
this. Oh my God, Taylor. Yeah.
I've in that.
It's really
probably
is.
What's in DayQuil.
Yeah. Probably. I know. Yeah.
Call back.
Oh shit. We're comedians. Did I mention it? But what I was going to say about the shampoo. Because I'm like so obsessive that like if I have a little travel shampoo that I've stolen, you know, from a hotel or not stolen, they give it to you. I will come home and I will use that one immediately so I can throw it away.
That's smart. No, that's great.
So I will use all the little stupid things and then I will keep my big things.
I was not
just because
that.
I will because I'm afraid that I'm going to have a hoard of shampoos.
That's yeah. what I have.
But then it's like... Like I'm a weirdo, dude. Yeah.
You're not. It's great. The right way to be.
Yeah.
It really is. I feel like I'm seeing the light more and more. Like, oh yeah, this is right.
Yeah, it feels good.
I wanted to say one more thing about when the newscaster, the guy who had the nervous breakdown.
Oh yeah.
How he was talking about worrying. I'm a huge worrier. That's basically all I do. Are you guys worriers?
100%.
I'm worried all the time. Okay. Yeah. Okay, constant state of just fear and terror. And
okay, great. That's why we're doing this, because we're
trying to distract ourselves from how afraid we are.
Yes. So where he said that he was talking to a therapist about the amount of worry and the purpose of worry, because he said sometimes... If you think about being somebody that isn't worried at all, that's kind of insane because you might miss a flight. You know, if you're running behind, you should have a little worry that pushes you to get to the airport on time or else you're just not going to be living a functional life.
Right.
So he was like, yes, I agree. I think that there is some amount of worry that's useful, but that's what you have to ask yourself when you're in that path of worry is this useful right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because on the 17th worry... It might not be useful anymore.
Yeah, I
love
that.
And now you're just running yourself into the ground. And I'm like, that's very, very powerful. Powerful. Yeah.
Right, because isn't it like being worried about your plane taking off on time? You can't do anything about it when you're sitting in the
seat. Yeah.
Because I think I've heard that before or some version of it, because he wrote 10% Happier, right?
Yes.
Which we should also read. So I've thought about that when I'm sitting on planes, when I'm worried about like making it to my next show or something and I really stress out and then I'm like, I can't do anything about this. There's no point being worried.
Me too.
If I have to cancel, I have to cancel. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's out of my hands. And that brings like a weird sort of peace.
I've absolutely felt that way. I've felt that way very like a good handful of times in the last couple years. I've been just this last year alone, at least 5 or 6 flight cancellations, things where I was stuck overnight at the Salt Lake City airport on the floor for 13 hours, all this shit where you really can't, it's like that part of your brain just ceases because there's nothing you can do. And it's this weird zen high where you're kind of miserable, but you're also kind of free because you're like, nope, there's no point in me worrying about this.
And it's not my fault.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah. There's nothing I can do about this right
now. And it's like you still exist. I don't. For me, it's like I'm still like alive, so it's not that big of a deal. You know, like this, like
this
weird,
is the
like
worst thing that
very basic
today.
Human feeling.
Yeah, it's still okay.
Do you guys do that? I do this all the time, where I think of like the worst thing that could happen in the situation.
Yes.
I do that constantly. Like, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen if I don't do this? That makes me feel a lot better. Yeah. Usually,
it's like hypothetically preparing yourself.
Yeah, and then of course when it doesn't happen, you just feel great and relieved and like didn't even come close to, you know,
but if it had
anything horrible,
I knew what I was gonna do.
Yeah, I knew. Yeah, I had a game plan for when I fell off this ladder.
Yeah. I thought, I mean, this is a little a change of subject, but I thought the thing that stuck out to me the most was like, as far as, because they talk so much about advertising and like why we compulsively acquire stuff, and so much of it goes back to advertising, but more than that, social media and all of these like illusions and like fantasy lives, these imagined lives, they said that everybody's living. And it is so true. Like I follow a bunch of blogs on Instagram that like have like candles and coffee and books, and they're in bed, and even that stuff, which like isn't, you know, that bad. It's better than like following abs, which I also do. And even that's like, oh, I want to go buy a teacup, and I want to go buy a new book, and I want to buy new sheets for my bed so it looks like a hotel room. Like just all these like perfect photos, because those photos make you feel a certain way, and you go, if that was my real life, I would feel this way all the time.
Right.
But you wouldn't.
Right.
Yes.
This might be a creepy, weird side note, but hey, I have been like thinking about death a lot. Like, I don't know if you guys think about it
more than usual. I think about it a lot.
Okay, because like
it's constant.
It didn't really hit me hard until maybe this past year, I feel like it's progressively getting more noticeable. And I don't know if just because I'm getting older and I'm just like, I'm just so aware of my own mortality.
You
but
are
like
on the brink of death.
No, I didn't used to think about it. And now I literally think about it almost every second. Oh, and I don't know really? If you guys are experiencing that, or like the way that I used to feel about life at 25 is so different than 27 even. Like I have no idea if that's like an age thing that people have experienced or like, but it's just constant. And I think it became way more noticeable when I was really like truly like happy and content.
Are you afraid?
I'm afraid. Yeah. Like I was like, I find myself being like trying to be really present in the moment,
right?
Because I'm like even just like talking to you guys, like I'm having such a good time, yeah. And then I'm like, oh my god, please enjoy this, because I know that everything is very fleeting.
Oh,
you know what
gosh.
I mean?
Yes.
And so, and yeah. that didn't happen to me until I really felt like I was in a happy, really happy place in my life. Yeah. Because before that, I was just like, just got to get through it. I'm grinding. Yeah. I'm reaching to something. And now that I'm like, oh my god, like I really love how my life is going. I'm fucking terrified that I'm gonna lose all of it. And yes. that just happened maybe in the past few months, where it's just like really apparent.
I feel that totally. Way too.
You do and too? Yes,
partially too. Because the two times in my life that I've like, no, that's not true. That is true. The two times in my life that I've totaled my car is, it was like right before, like I can remember feeling like, I feel great right now. Everything's going great.
Oh, wow.
I'm really happy with where I am. And then I totaled my car. Wow. And it's that universe messing with you thing again. Like you're getting rid of that. Now you need it. You're going to feel good. We're going to total your car.
It's like, a little scary.
I know. And I mean, again, I'm sure I feel like that other times that I haven't totaled my car, but that's what sticks out in your brain. And I think about death a lot too. I think about it, especially driving around LA. When I'm in LA a lot, I think about it. Yes. Getting in a car accident constantly. Yeah. Anytime my family members drive anywhere over an hour, yeah. I think they're gonna die. You know, my mom died when she was 34, and so I feel like every birthday I go, okay, so I have 10 more years, because feel like it's gonna happen, because you know, that's what you saw modeled for you. So you're just like, all right, I'm probably be dead pretty soon. I don't know. How often do you think about it?
A lot.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I feel like it's changed over the course of my life why I'm thinking about death a lot.
Yes.
I went through kind of an OCD phase when I was maybe 16-ish. It actually came from the manicure tool incident. And also, it just was this bad time in my life where, like, the manicure tool thing happened. And I went to the emergency room for sticking an object in my vagina.
Watch Kelsey on this season of This Is Not Happening. Yes. On Comedy Central.
Yeah. Trying to masturbate for the first time, and like that's such a sacred part of your body that you're taught to protect, and I kind of like destroyed mine. And it really fucked with me, because it was so disturbing to like my crotch had swollen shut, and it was like this whole horrible thing in my life, and I was so like ashamed. And at that same time, I had all my allergy tests done, and they basically told me that I was allergic to the world. And I became very much a bubble child, and I was just really like, death seemed very imminent to me all the time. I was like, oh, I'm gonna do something that's gonna kill me at any second. Like anything I do is like a really high chance that it's going to kill me.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went from that, and then I kind of have slowly gotten over that stuff more and more. But then you get older and other bad shit happens. Like two of my best friends' moms passed away from cancer within like a year of one another. And then it's that feeling of every time I'm on the phone with my mom every day, I'm always like, be very present in this conversation.
Yes.
Like very acutely aware of like, you just don't know, just be very present and grateful. And I think also it's kind of what you said that you didn't start thinking about until you were happy.
Yeah.
That when I was able to start doing stand up full time, I didn't feel like I was sludging through shit anymore at a day job I hated. All of a sudden I had what I'd been working for. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, okay, I know that you're anxious all the time and worried that this is going to go away, but this is a cool thing that's happening right now. So just really
take it in.
Yeah. Open your eyes and think about how cool this is and don't just be consumed by anxiety.
Don't let it
for one second. Yeah. Like the whole idea of stop and smell the roses.
Oh yeah.
Which is so hard when you feel like you're in a rat race.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. Especially this industry. I feel like, okay, I got this TV credit. I got this in the works. Okay, what's next? We don't take time to really enjoy our like small victories very much.
No.
And that I've been trying to become really much better at that because
me
I'm
too.
Like,
yeah,
this might not always be my life. I need to really like go out and celebrate tonight or whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, I was like on the set of a movie that I wrote and it was like a crazy experience. And I was so tired when I got home, but I was like, to my boyfriend, like, we have to go out to dinner and like celebrate because like I don't want this to just be like another thing where I'm like, you know what, no, tomorrow I got to work on this, you know, like I'm like, I have to celebrate all this work that I put into this thing and, you know, go from there. But I think we are very hard on ourselves, especially as perfectionists and type A as we are, like, okay, I accomplished this, what's next, and then by the time it's like you look back like, holy shit, I did a lot of cool stuff and I maybe didn't enjoy it like I should have. And so I'm getting better at that because it's I think it's really important to just try to be present with all that.
I'm trying to do that with and I don't know. I mean, can we move into hashtag goals?
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Hashtag goals. Just because it's such an easy transition.
Yeah.
I mean, for hashtag goals this week, I'm going to say that mine is something I've been trying to do recently is just be more present on stage and enjoy it when I'm doing stand up because it's my favorite thing in the whole world. Like, anytime I have to do, you know, a hard gig like a cruise ship or like a corporate gig or, you know, a TV show or something like that, and I know I sound like just really ungrateful, and I'm not at all. I'm so grateful for all of those opportunities and the opportunity to do this full time. But I mean, those experiences make me so appreciative of like just doing a set in a club and working on new stuff. And I feel like in the last week, all of the shows I've done, I've been doing a really good job of like being present, thinking before I go on stage, like, oh, this is the thing you love to do. You get to go do it because I just spend so much time. Like I drove into the city yesterday and was like waiting around for my show to start. And it was kind of like a cool LA show. And I was like, man, I hope I'm funny. Like there were people on it I respected. And just to have like a really good set and know that it was because I went up like excited to talk to people, because the audience can pick up on that too. You can totally tell the difference when you're just like basically working, when you're just clocking in, clocking out during a set.
Autopilot.
Yep. Autopilot for sure. As opposed to really getting up there, enjoying it, in like excited to tell them what all these jokes you've been thinking about all day. So that's my goal this week and beyond, is just to continue to be really grateful, appreciative, and present before, during, and after I am doing what I love to do, which is stand up.
That's an amazing goal.
That's a great goal.
Yeah.
Kelsey, what about you?
I think I want to dig into the minimalism more because I think there's still a lot of shit that I'm holding on to that I really don't need to. And I kind of want to, I want to go the extra step with the minimalism and like, especially with the makeup.
You break up with Kane?
Get out, man.
Really shed all of it.
I'll shed all the layers. Get out of here. I think you're right that it's, it's at a place where I'm actually, I feel burdened by some of it. And again, this is so stupid because we're like, oh my God, I'm talking about lip gloss. Like, this is so dumb. But it's true where I look at it and I'm like, I feel, it's almost like I feel guilty for having stuff that isn't being used when it could go to somebody else. And then a selfish part of me kicks in that's like, but it's yours and maybe you'll use it at some point. So you should just keep it. And I don't want to feel that way anymore. I just want to shed that. I want to shed that skin and donate some of that makeup. So yeah.
Love it. I love it. Yeah. I would say, my goal is, the whole celebrating small victories thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just want to keep doing that more. I just started doing that recently.
Yeah.
After like a friend kind of pointed out that I was like complaining about something. They were like, dude, you're good. You know? Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, like if I had talked to myself 8 years ago saying, hey, you would be doing all this stuff, I'd have been like, no way, you know? So just like even today, maybe when my boyfriend gets home, I'd be like, yo, we got to go out to dinner because we just did podcast stuff. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's a cool celebration.
Absolutely.
Basically, I'm trying to figure out any way to get my boyfriend to take me to dinner. So if that's what you've learned.
Yeah. I wish we didn't have shows tonight so we could all go.
Need to go and do a trio dinner. We really should do that.
That would
we
really be lovely. Need to.
Maybe that's our hashtag group goal.
Yeah. Do the poster thing we talked about that Jessica Michelle Singleton does, because that is such a great way to honor, like,
I do love
I accomplished this
it
and is, I'm proud of myself and I can physically see a representation. Yeah.
I do really love that idea.
I enjoyed that a lot.
She posted about it again and I messaged her and I was like, oh my gosh, me and Kelsey just talked about this. She's like, it's weird, but it helps.
It's so great. Yeah.
No, it's fantastic. Yeah. I love that. And we actually have a question from one of our listeners.
Our first question.
She she emailed us to
doing a sound
DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled.
She emailed our selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com, which you can too. And this question is from Sam. And it says, I just found
your last name, social security number.
Oh yeah. That's really, if we're going to write it down,
mother's maiden name.
Just found out that my boyfriend of 3 years cheated on me again. It happened about 6 months into our relationship at a party. And then I scrolled through his text messages and I saw some things that kind of suggest that he has been seeing somebody behind my back. What the fuck do I do? And she actually wrote, what the fuck do I do?
Oh my God.
What do you guys think?
What the fuck did she do?
Yeah, this is all the information I have from Sam. I didn't really dig in, via email. So I figured, what do you think about this?
I say get rid of him.
Get rid of him.
For sure. I can't believe you're still with him after 6 months. But I am a very jealous person. And like in relationships, if they lie to me about anything, it's ruined. Like even if they're like, no, I didn't get a parking ticket and they did, I'm like, you're dead to
trust
me.
Trust is gone.
Like trust is super important to me.
Yeah.
I really have a lot of respect for people who can forgive and forget. But I cannot.
There's no judgment in that. Right?
No. I say avenge and remember. That's what I say.
You have
oh my
to make
god
sure
that needs to
sure that
I was gonna say that
engine remember
that needs to be a
please,
bit for sure
yeah, yeah
I feel like I get material just
I'll try
from talking
that. I know I'm gonna
podcast.
Write that down I might
you
try
really
it.
Should
yeah that's
yeah
amazing.
That's Kelsey, have you ever been cheated on or cheated on anybody in your past?
I have done neither. I'm fortunate enough I have not been cheated on before. There was an ex who like we went on a break and there was some kind of weird business happening in that time, but breaks like fucking
breaks
should never
just
be
like,
a thing.
Look, I want to bang this fucking coworker I got. That's pretty much what a break means.
Yeah.
I think, you
break,
know?
Yeah.
I want a hall pass.
Yeah, yeah, putting it on pause to diddle and then it's
God,
a
I
whole
love diddling.
Diddle.
Yeah.
That's the worst word.
I know.
That sounds so inappropriate.
Yeah.
But yeah, well that's good.
So yeah, I feel very lucky. I have friends who've gone through it and it's terrible and horrible. Yeah. But I am in a kind of unusual situation because my boyfriend of over 5 years and I have kind of created our own like customized version of an open relationship. It's a very like middle school open relationship where it's just like just making out.
You can hold hands, but only if I'm friends with him.
And we, it's kind of like the don't ask, don't tell where it's like, we don't want to know about it. It's not one of those things where it's like, I don't really want to like think about him making out with somebody. But it's weird because I'll get kind of cuckoldish if I see like a girl hitting on him in a bar, and I'm like, I like that you think my man's hot. Like, it makes me feel good. Like, I like watching women other hit people, on him, yeah. Because
but
it,
do you want him to be stoic and not respond?
No, or is, I like you, watching him flirt.
Would you really? Want to yeah. see them oh, kiss? Would that be a totally different
if
level?
If it was somebody that I was also attracted to. If it was a girl that I was attracted to and I could, like, see that happening, then I'd be all for that. But it's just, like, it has to be a very specific, like, there's only been, like, a very small number of people that have been, like, yeah, like, okay. I would.
Delaney Fisher is one of them, yeah. If anybody was knowing.
I'm
was
just wondering. I'm just great at this.
I made the short list.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I know, like, I'm kind of... like, I'm open about certain shit and then other shit where I'm like, I don't really want to watch, like, I don't have a desire to watch my boyfriend fuck somebody else in front of me.
Right.
Like, I know some people have that in them, that turns them on. That doesn't really do it for me. Cause right. like,
God
sex
bless those
is
people,
like,
man.
Yeah. Sex is like a very intimate thing to me. Making out has always to me been associated more with like a fun, like yeah, I don't know,
yeah,
a dance floor,
like at a party,
that's
yeah.
how
dance
we warm up for podcasts.
Yeah. Like a group make out,
yeah.
So Kane and I always felt like cheating on somebody didn't seem to ever make sense. It always felt like if you have lost interest in the person you're with and
right.
you would rather be with somebody else, then you should just end that and go be with that person,
right?
So we felt like, why would we ever want to subject one another to the idea of like getting fully cheated on? Why don't we, like, I always liked the idea of, well, why don't we keep that door just kind of cracked? Because I'm very cynical about marriage, about just like the standard marriage.
Mm-hmm. It, sure.
You know, it's hard not to be something that has like over 50% divorce rate. There's a right. great TED talk for it where a woman was like, if iPhones did not work more than 50% of the time, would you buy one?
Yeah. Well, Bill Burr has right. a great bit about it where he said, if your parachute didn't open
right.
50%
you
of the time, yeah, when you jumped out of a plane, would you jump out of a plane?
Right.
So
that's
right.
brilliant.
Like, no.
Yeah.
So no. true.
Same thing where I think that traditional sense, and again, I'm not knocking it for people who make it work, because there are people who make it work. I've seen couples that have been married for 50 years
yeah.
and truly seem very happy and content
right.
Without ever having that door cracked.
Right.
And they might come from a different time. I feel like we are in a very different time now where it's like yeah. temptation overload.
Sure.
And
well, you're talking like realistically what's realistic versus what's the ideal that most people go for?
Well, yeah.
Ideally, you want to be with someone forever and right. just you two and it's all enough. Realistically, most people probably won't be able to do that.
Right.
Yeah. And humans, we're not yeah. technically wired that way. And I also, I just find it weird that in life, there's just this social thing that's been constructed that you're able to date and meet a lot of different people and have sexual experiences with a lot of different people. But then you meet one person and you're supposed to just that for 70 years.
Right.
And the whole rest of your life leading up to that, when you've been behaving kind of like a regular human being, all of a sudden you're never supposed to do that again.
Right.
Like, why? That's so,
like,
so weird.
So would you say, like, just knowing that you could go kiss somebody at a party and then not get in trouble, or like, you know, not to cause issues in your relationship.
Right.
Just like having that freedom or knowing you could do that makes you feel more comfortable
yes.
and not necessarily feel
even
the need
want
or want to do it just because you know you could.
Yeah. It's right? a very, very much reverse psychology.
Interesting.
Oh, it's like when people raise their kids and they're like, you can drink, but only in the house. And everybody's like, drinking's yeah. not cool.
Exactly. yeah. So my mom actually did this with us, which is, I think, maybe why I feel this way with other parts of my life. But we grew up with a candy drawer where there's just a drawer in my kitchen that always had a bunch of shit in it. Just candy bars and fruit snacks. My mom was also like the cool mom of like, if you want to drink, I'd rather that you do it in the house
yeah.
so I can like
yeah.
make sure you're okay.
My parents were like, if you drink, dead to us.
There, I never had any feeling of rebellion. Like, I scheduled when I lost my virginity with my mom.
Wait, you mean you told her you were going to
yeah,
do it
I asked
before
her,
it happened?
I was like, would you mind seeing a movie on Friday night? Because
I'm losing my virginity Saturday morning.
In your house that you pay for.
Yeah, like we would like
insane.
To have
and she
sex
was like,
for the
sure.
first time. And she's like, okay. Like,
are you kidding?
Wow.
Condoms. Yeah.
Wow.
Man, that's insane. Like, the most open conversation I've had with my dad is like when I was dating someone in college, he was like, how far did you guys go? I was like, really? And he was like,
never mind. Like, that was the closest it's ever. And then, like, recently, in the last couple of years, he said something to the effect of, like, I know you've probably made some, you've done, made some mistakes, and that's fine. And I was like, all right. Like, I guess that feels like you still love me no matter what.
Oh, my gosh.
That's one way of saying it. Yeah. Or you could just say, I love you no matter what. But, hey, that's okay.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's insane. I love that you said you scheduled it with
that's
your
fantastic.
Mom. Just, yeah. like, does Friday work for you?
Yeah.
Does Friday
I'm going to get deflowered
you?
On Saturday. Yeah. So if we can just maybe pencil us. That's great. Like, my parents were open, but, like, didn't want to know about it. Like, they're okay. like, you can tell me anything, but fucking please don't. Yeah. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
just keep it to yourself. But, like, right. I'm here if it's
we
really an emergency.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. yeah.
So this whole candy drawer thing, my brother and I grew up kind of learning how to, like, regulate shit for ourselves wow. because it was always there. And then any of our friends who would come over that came from households oh. where it was like, you don't get any dessert unless you clean your
go
plate.
To town.
And if you do get dessert, it is one little chocolate morsel and everything very controlled, everything oh. that like they were never given any opportunity to control themselves.
Mm.
They would come over and they would eat until they were sick. Like,
wow.
I mean, kids that would just go through that candy drawer
wow.
and eat everything. And I think you see that with so many other things, mm-hmm. people cheating, people binge drinking, people whatever, where they were told like you can't do that. And Taylor, you're a very like exception to that because you happen to
oh, yeah,
be
I'm
like,
74.
Yeah, you're
real
mean?
Weird. Like,
but I have seen it the reverse where it's like coming from a conservative household oh, yeah. and then people like becoming heroin addicts.
I have right. friends' parents. I remember in fifth grade, I had a friend and her mom. Told my friend at the time, you know, Taylor's gonna go crazy in high school, right?
Right.
And then my friend told me, it was like, my mom thinks you're gonna go crazy in high
oh,
school because your parents are so strict. And I was like, Karen doesn't know me.
Karen's my mom's
age. I never did.
Yeah.
But there's still time, America.
Yeah. We don't know.
Taylor's
maybe still, haven't hit
yeah.
it yet.
So yeah. then, do you think she should dump her boyfriend then?
Yeah, how do you feel about this?
Or do you think it's they so should tough. Have a discussion about what the expectations
yeah,
are?
Yeah, like maybe it's like, look, if you keep doing, if you keep wanting to do this, should we have an open relationship? Should we talk about what the rules are? Should it be like, I know for my personal, I was cheated on pretty brutally. I mean, there's no like nice way to be cheated on, yeah. but it was like my world came crashing down. But I took the guy back and I really tried, and he was like the perfect boyfriend for a while. Like yeah. I feel like even if somebody does change, you still feel shitty. Like it's
yeah,
so hard to not feel shitty. The trust is broken, and like he was doing and saying all the right things. He didn't cheat on me anymore, but I still couldn't really truly get over
that.
It.
Yeah.
So I kept punishing him and being horrible to him. And I'm like, even if you're being great, I don't feel great anymore. This is not going to work.
Right.
So like, I don't know. What do you think?
I feel like it's such a case by case basis.
Yeah. We'd probably need more info.
An individual and as a couple. Cause I have one of my closest friends, was getting cheated on with a guy, and she's to the level of like, she's not okay with her boyfriend even like watching porn really.
Yeah,
or like
friends like that
following
too.
Like a hot, like a hot Instagram chick or something
right.
like that.
Again, ideals versus reality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So when that was happening, you know, to her, there was no discussion. And I completely understood that because that's how she feels. And that's what she needs. So I was never like, well, you should give him, you know, it was like, if you aren't okay with that, then fucking get out.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
clearly he's not like gonna be able to follow that.
But they already got back together and it happened again, and
yeah.
their agreement obviously isn't
I don't think they're a good fit at that
yeah.
point.
I don't think they're anything they want different
I think
things.
Their needs are different ultimately,
right.
and that's a really huge need in a relationship regardless
yeah.
of how much you have in common. Like
yeah.
she needs a partner and he needs to be a douchebag.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's just
some of those things just don't
go
hand
yeah.
in hand.
If you can't find some sort of compromise where you're both comfortable,
right,
then because that's you know, neither Kane nor I are looking to fuck other people. Like it's
not,
just
yeah
that's like, just not
you and I locked eyes.
Girls are different, but like I don't want to deal with like
yeah.
another dick. Like I'm
yeah,
good.
One is
like
good.
I got my winning dick.
Yeah,
I'm good.
One solid.
But like
my
yeah I just
dick.
I don't like I really don't like that idea of that neither he nor I would be allowed to ever like have some sort of flirtatious
right
thing. Basically how I feel is like as long as it doesn't affect the time he spends with me, the amount right. of love he has for me,
right,
and as long as he doesn't tell me, and it doesn't affect his sexual health,
right?
Yeah,
I know, that's pretty
the
fair.
The worst part about cheating is it looks so cool in movies. Like, you know what? And the worst part is I know I'm the type of person that would cheat on somebody if I like let that be an option, if that makes sense. I feel that way in a lot of areas of my life. Like if I drank, I'd be an alcoholic. If I was like flirtatious yeah. with other people when I'm in relationships, I would cheat on them. If I wasn't so worried about being cheated on, I would cheat for sure.
Really?
Yeah, but it would hurt me like so badly that I would yeah. never do it to anybody else.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have that in me, like Delaney, you were saying before we started recording, like you're not that jealous.
Yeah.
If I weren't jealous,
right.
That was an
fucking
elephant
everybody.
Noise. Just whenever then.
Yeah. So Sam, you know, it sounds like your boyfriend may need to be in an open relationship elsewhere, yeah. and you need to find somebody who wants to be monogamous. I think that's yeah. kind of what we've
set
gathered.
Him free.
Set him free
set
and
him free.
Go find a steady dick somewhere else.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Yeah. I think steady stream.
Yeah,
I think
we're good.
That about wraps it.
Again, you can email us at selfhelplesspodcast.com or not.com, excuse me, selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com. It's been a long day. No spaces, no hyphens, all one word. And ask us for advice and we'll do our best and we'll all give you very different advice probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Entirely we'll pull different. From our self-help resources.
Yeah, yes. Which could be helpful or infuriating. We don't know.
So. We're going to give it a try.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks so much for listening, you guys.
Thank you.
My info for following me on Twitter is @TaylorTomlinson, @TTomComedy on Instagram, as well as my website, TTomComedy.com.
My Twitter is @KelseyCook. Instagram is KelseyCookComedy and website is KelseyCook.com, where you can go see upcoming tour dates.
And I'm @DelaneyFisher across the board and DelaneyFisher.com.
Hey.
Thanks for listening,
oh,
people.
One more thing.
Oh,
subscribe
to Self Helpless.
Please
go
do
subscribe.
It. Do it with
you
your fingers.
It takes one click, and then also go give it a 5-star rating. Again, one more click. Just click that 5th star.
So
two
easy.
Clicks tops. Wow.
Yeah, and then if you have
much.
An extra 30 seconds, leave a sweet review. Just write one sentence. Maybe tell us what your favorite self-help book is or
love it.
What you've been yes. up to lately. Or
hell,
tell
write hi.
Hi. Yeah, literally write hi.
Yeah.
That's all.
Leave an emoji.
Or, leave an emoji.
Yeah.
One more click.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.